Pleasure.
Morning. God bless everybody. Wasn't it fun this morning with the music and the new choir? Look how fast we got that choir. Boy, that is the Spirit of God working, I tell you what. It was sure a blessing to just sit in the back and hear everybody singing, hear the prayers and manifestations and miracles. And you know, it really is humbling when we stop and think about what a great and wonderful God we have and what a wonderful family we're a part of. And it's just, sometimes you just sit in awe of the whole thing, you know? And it just brings such peace to your heart and such believing to your heart. It's a wonderful thing. Well, the title of this teaching today is kind of like, I don't know how we're going to print it on the thing, because the title of this teaching is, Do We Really? Now, I don't know how that's going to happen, but that's the title of this teaching. And you could put a lot of things after, Do We Really? But today, what we're going to put after that is, Do We Really Trust God? Now, trusting God is a very common phrase in the Christian language, isn't it? Well, I trust God. Oh, yeah, I trust God. Oh, I put my trust in God. Oh, yeah, absolutely, I trust God. And you know what? I think we do. And the times it's easiest to trust God is when there's no pressure, when there's no dissension, when there's no attack. But when the attack comes, do we really trust God? Do we really? And I can't answer that question for you. I can answer it for myself. And the truth of that is, not always. Sometimes I get tricked. Sometimes I don't control my thinking. But you know what? There is so much in God's Word about trusting Him. The only way to get yourself back to where you need to be, where you can trust God, and you can see God come, bring to pass miracles and work within your life, is to go to His Word, to meditate upon the things of His Word. So today, our topic is trusting God. Now, you know what? There's a lot of things going on right now that could really interfere with your trust God signal, isn't there? If you listen and consider the things that are being said. The economy is terrible. Jobs are terrible. You know, the United States is about to fall apart financially. Oh my God. I mean, really, it's like news, paper, everywhere. It's just like, oh, this is bad. This is really, really bad. It's really, 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 really bad. Well, maybe it is really, really bad. But I guarantee you one thing, the government's not going to save it. It's God that's going to save it. It's God that's going to provide for His people because we trust Him. We trust Him. I want you to go to Psalms. While you're going there, I'm going to put my glasses on. Psalm 37. Man, there's a lot of verses in the Word about trusting God, and I really got blessed reading them this past week, and it's kind of hard to pick the ones we were going to go over today because, I mean, if we read them all, we'd be here till Driving Miss Daisy came on next week, you know. But we're going to just look at a few. But I really challenge you to just get a concordance or go online and print up the word trust and just look at all the places it's used. And you know what the cool thing is? The outcome is always positive for those who put their trust in God. Always without exception. Psalm 37? Okay, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He, not another person, not the government, not Aunt Sarah, not Grandpa Moses, but God, shall give thee the desires of what? Do you believe that? Really, you trust that. You really trust that. Then you know what you're going to have? The desires of your heart. The fruit's going to be there. And that's the other point about trusting God. If you wonder, am I trusting God? Am I really trusting God? You have to be honest with yourself. I mean, look. We have a lot of knowledge of God's word, don't we? And I like to think I trust God all the time. And I really work on trusting God. But sometimes I have to step back and say, why am I not getting the result that I know God promises me? Okay, first question, why am I not getting the result? Means you have to recognize there's a problem. The second part of that question is, okay, this is between me and God. Now, I'm smart enough not to think God's got the problem. I got the problem. You know what I mean? It's not the Father. It's never God. It's always me. So I have to be honest with myself and say, okay, God, where am I missing it? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what that does? It keeps you meek and humble before your Father. It helps you to be meek and humble to one another. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but this is thick. And I can read it in the Word, and I can say it to myself, but in my heart, I'm still. So God sends a wonderful believer. Vic, what's going on? Vic, I love you, but you don't look peaceful, or whatever the situation is. See, we have to have that humility before God. That's the first thing about trusting God, people, is to have the humility that he asks us to have before him. Then God goes to work. And then results happen. And then, you know what we see? Fruit. We see testimonies. We hear miracles. We watch people get deliverance from every category, physically, spiritually, mentally, financially. You know what that takes? Trusting him. Okay, go to 37:5. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Commit them to who? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And who brings it to pass? He does. See, without trusting God, without locking my heart in with him, I'm nothing. I have nothing. I amount to nothing. That is the way it is. We have a God that's delivered us, but he delivered us through Jesus Christ. So it behooves us to do things his way. You guys, look at Psalm 56. Verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Now let's look at that verse. David said that. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. In God have I put my trust. Have we done that? When you're in a situation and what you're going to say isn't going to be popular, it's not going to be what everybody wants to hear, but you know it's the word of God and the truth of God. Do you trust God enough to speak it? Or are you concerned about what people are going to think of you? You know, maybe at one point, I don't know about you guys, I've done this. I put my foot in my mouth. I make a bold statement I didn't think through. And maybe 3 or 4 days later, maybe I say something to someone. And then I wish I hadn't said it. Because after I think about it, it's not really how I feel about it. Because it's not really how I should feel according to the Word of God. So I have to go back. I don't have to, but that's a loving thing to do. I go back and I correct my mistake with that person. Let me ask you. Do you trust God in those situations of your life? Or are you more concerned about what someone thinks of you? Because trusting God means you don't care what men think. You speak the truth of God's word. You're honest and loving in life situations with people. And results happen because you do that. But I'm going to tell you, when you trust in people, you don't see a lot of positive results happen. Now, if what people are speaking to you is the word, you can trust the word that people are speaking. Get the difference? But their opinions, if they don't line up with God's word, I wouldn't put my trust in that. But the proof of that for our lives is, do we speak up and say what God wants us to say? Do we actually live in our day-by-day walk what God wants us to live? Are we there? The earring? Okay. For you guys that are in CD land, my earring is affecting the recording. So I'm taking my earring off. These are beautiful earrings that actually, put that on the back, that Mary Lee gave me for my birthday. So I wanted to wear them today. But I wondered if that was going to happen. So I'm one earring short, but I'll put it right back on afterwards, Mary Lee. Okay? They're beautiful earrings. Okay, so you know what? We need to let our walk line up with our talk. And when you say you trust God, then your actions will correspond that statement. And it's easy to get sidetracked. But the important thing is, turn to Psalm 143. The important thing is, when we get sidetracked, is that we recognize that. And that we're meek and humble when God shows us that. 143, Psalm 143:8. I love this verse. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. See, it is up to us to trust God. It's not up to God for us to trust God. It's up to us. We lift ourselves up to God. We humble ourselves. We bow down before his will. You know? When you know something is God's will in your life and you fight it, you're only hurting yourself the most. But when you walk in the body of Christ, you honestly could be hurting other people in the process. And that's not anybody's hearts in this room. I know that. But sometimes that's what happens because we honestly don't trust God. So when you see your life doing that, stop yourself. Listen to God because he'll reveal it to you. Because you know what he wants? He wants you to trust him because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to direct your path. He wants only good and loving and honest and healthy and great things to happen to you, you know? And you might want to, like, take a checkup from the neck up once in a while when things aren't going right. You know, why am I frustrated? Why am I upset? Why are my finances in such a twit? Well, are you trusting God? Are you just saying you're trusting God? Are your actions following your confession? Confession is a huge thing, but you can't just confess. You also got to take action. We're going to see that. And look at some more. Proverbs 28. 28. I thought this was a cool verse. Oh, just because we're such people. We're just so people. Verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up what? Strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. That's a pretty cool verse. You know what? We don't need pride in our life because pride stirs up strife. What we need is we need to have trust and confidence in God so he can make our lives big and fat with the fruit of the Spirit. So that when we come walking into a room, people see the light. They understand, man, there's a man or a woman of God. Especially among each other, we should recognize that. You know? And if you don't see that, and God tells you to go minister to that person, then don't worry about what people think. Go do what God's telling you to do. Have that trust in God and move on it. And you know what? Maybe you'll make a mistake here or there. Maybe you think you got the revelation and you didn't. Well, you're going to know real quick if you didn't. Trust me, because I've done that. And it doesn't take long for you to realize, oops, this is not getting a godly result at all. Okay, you back up, you go to God again, you try again. You don't give up, you don't quit. You fight for one another. When we fight for one another in the body of Christ, you know what we're doing? We're putting our trust and confidence in God, because God tells us not to have strife. God tells us to be of one heart, one mind. Right? So if you trust him, are you going to walk that way? Absolutely. Look, if you don't trust your car's going to start, are you going to turn the key? No, this car's not going to start. I'm not wasting my time going out there. But if you trust God, you do the things of God. You do it God's way. Okay, let's go. We can't do this without going to Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, this verse of scripture. Let's start in verse 1. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? Here goes God. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And where do we find those things that he's telling us to not forget and to write upon our hearts? We find them in his word. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Does that not sound like a great life to have? Doesn't it? Okay, there's two aspects. I know this is in the Old Testament, but we learn from the Old Testament. There's two aspects. Trust God, and don't do this. To your own understanding. Have you ever done that? Do you guys ever talk to yourself in the mirror? Am I the only person in this room that does that? I guess I am. No, you just won't admit it, I tell you. No. I do that sometimes. You know, especially when I'm in a dilemma and I've like prayed for something, it's not happening, I'm unsettled, I'm like, so I'll just be brushing my teeth and I'm thinking about it. Well, you know what? I could do this. I could do that. Come in here. I could try this. I could try that. And then I'm looking in the mirror and all of a sudden I realize I'm doing this. I'm not leaning to God's way. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm leaning to my own understanding. I'm trying to work it out, and it's usually for two reasons. Either I don't see what God's trying to show me, which is pretty not really. Most of the time I do. But the other thing is, which is hard to admit at times, but I'm not listening. I don't like his answer. I don't want to do it that way, God. Why can't I have it this way and I can go around here and get it that way? Why do I have to go here like you want me to do? You know what? That's leaning to your own understanding. We don't figure anything out in our lives that's worth anything, that produces any kind of spiritual fruit, unless God's involved in it. First, he tells us to trust him, and then he tells us, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Now, what would make a person, okay, what would make me in a situation not trust God and lean to my understanding? Okay, I know the first word in everybody's mind, which was in mine, stupid, which is true. But Let's rationalize our way past the stupidity part, which I usually do. Yes, Mike? Fear. Fear would be one thing. But does God's word cover that? So if we're fearing, are we trusting in God? No. Here's a real practical thing with fear, and it's pretty common right now. God says in his word that we are to sow how? What do? We sow bountifully. Whether it's finances, of our time, of our love, of our prayers, it's supposed to be bountifully. Well, right now, the economy isn't real bountiful, is it, in the world? Right? Okay, so what are we going to do? Okay, I normally give X amount, but you know what? Things are more expensive. So, you know what? God, I can do it with a cheerful heart, so I'll just give this much right now. Is that really trusting God? No. Because that cheerful heart thing, if you really study that, it's not just what you purpose in your heart. It is what you purpose in your heart, but it has to do with the attitude of your giving, not the amount you're giving. Do you get that? As a man purpose in his heart, so he gives. What should our purpose be? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So the purpose of our giving should be what God tells us to do, not what things dictate, circumstances dictate to us to do. But see, these are the areas where practically when we walk, we can get beat up in. And when we see ourselves off the mark, then the honest thing to do is you know what? God is so gracious and loving. All you got to do is say, oops, I really missed that one, didn't I? Yep, Vic, you missed that one. But it's okay, because now you can do it right. And the other thing that keeps a person from doing that is pride, because we don't want to be wrong, do we? Do you like being wrong? Who likes to be wrong in this room? Okay, no hands came up for all of you on the CD side of this. And you know what? I didn't expect them to, because nobody likes to be wrong. Well, I got a guarantee for you. When you trust in God and you do the things the way he asks you to do them in your life, whether it's by the written word or revelation this way, guess what? What's going to happen? You're going to be right. You're not going to be wrong. The only time we're wrong is when we don't do things God's way. That's the only time. So it really behooves us to get this trust thing down, doesn't it? It really behooves us to get this humble thing down, this humility thing down. And it's really a lot of fun when you walk with God that way. Because I don't know about you, but it's pretty hard to walk away around like this. Crooked, leaning to your own understanding. It says also in this verse, don't lean to your own understanding. In verse 7 it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Whoa. Oh gosh, man. That gets less and less in my life now, thank God. But sometimes, you know, in the past, before I learned about the graciousness and love of God and the word of God and just how powerful it really is when we do it, I used to think I could figure anything out. But, you know, as I look back during that time in my life, I was going to use the word, you know what, S-U-C. My life was rotten, to be honest with you. I wasn't happy. I wasn't blessed. Because I was being wise in my own eyes. It is always, always, always right to do the word. Don't get talked out of that. Whether it's financial giving, whether it's spending time with people, whether it's being meek to another person, trusting God is always the right way to do it. And he talks to us about humility. He talks about trusting him. And he tells us, do it and you will see the fruit. Didn't we just read this whole section? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You want an abundance? It doesn't matter how it is in the world. God's going to give you an abundance if you honor him the way he tells you to. It's a guarantee. It is a guarantee, people. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in this economy. I do know what's going to happen to God's people that trust him. We're going to shine like bright neon lights. People aren't going to be able not to see it. But it requires us to trust God and not lean to our own understandings. This isn't, it's not a magic wand. We have the Spirit within us. Spiritually, we are sanctified, justified, redeemed, forgiven. We are the complete package spiritually. But you, I don't know if you notice this, but I'm not just a spiritual person. Ouch. I have flesh. I have a mind that God expects me to control. Look, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is such a key to trusting God. And it's always right here in his word. We just have to take ourselves back there. We have to sometimes whip ourselves, you know, not like, whoosh, whoosh, but like, wake up. Vicki, come on. Get it together. I don't know if you guys do that to yourself. I mean, I do it to myself. Probably more than I should. I mean, more than I need to do it more than I should, but 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. How do we walk? In the flesh. We have fleshly bodies, right? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Our battle is not a flesh and blood battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through who? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Do you know what leaning to your own understanding is? It's not casting down your thoughts. It's trying to make your thoughts higher than God's thought because you want to do it your way. It does not work. Have you noticed that? It doesn't work. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we have a part to play in this. Bringing is a verb, right? It's an action that we take. And bringing every thought. Now, do you think that's a pretty big order? Yep. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm working on it every day. Because it's what God asked me to do. And I know, I'm smart enough to know now, that if I do what God asked me to do, if I can get that down, my life's going to be so much easier, so much more blessed. Which then frees me up to minister to others, to speak his word. See, that's the whole purpose. God wants us free of strife and worry and pride and anger and bitterness and doubt and fear. And he wants us free of that so that our lives can reach out to others to help free them. This is huge. And it begins with trusting him and doing things his way. And bringing every thought to the obedience of who? Now, have you ever thought about what that word, that verse practically means? Bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. What did Christ do? He always, he always did his Father's will. Man, what a great challenge for God to put up in front of us. What a great thing to reach for, to obtain. And I'm telling you, you have to trust God. Because when I read that the first time, I thought, he's talking about my mind. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what he's telling me? I have the power and ability to bring that mind, every thought I have, to the obedience of Christ. He always obeyed the Father's will. So you know what? If I'm bringing my mind to that spot, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to obey the Father's will. And who's going to profit from that the most? Me. And then I have something to truly give to people, don't I? Right? Because if I don't have that to give, the will of God, the word of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, I don't have anything to give except a bunch of horse manure. You know what I mean? Because nothing else, that's what everything else is. in comparison to God. And we have to trust that. We lead every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. And that's really, literally, the practical application of trusting God, you guys. Proverbs 3, did I say again? Okay. Trying to figure out, why did I have that there? You know why? Because it honors the Lord. And if we honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all of thine increase, God exalts what we do. He makes us to shine before great men. Isn't that what his word says? When we do what he calls us to do, then he exalts us. I want you guys to turn to Ephesians. We're going to close back in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4 because it's written to the church. Okay? It's written to the believers that endeavoring to stand upon the word of God and do their best. And I believe that that's addressed to everybody in this room. And I chose this section because when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, it becomes a very practical part of the word because it tells us how to walk. It tells us what God expects out of us as a body of believers. In verse 20, previous to verse 20, it talks a little bit about the Gentiles and how they had blindness in their heart and they were evil people. And then in verse 20 it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ. So if be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That's available for us to do. God would not put it in his word if it was not available, right? So if we do those things, then in a practical lifestyle, are we going to be speaking evil about each other? No. Are we going to give place to Satan, to the evil one, to the devil? No. Are we going to steal? No. Why? Because it's not who we are in Christ. It's not the mind we've put on. It's not trusting God when we do that. So we're not going to do those things. Guess what that is? A free will decision on our part. God makes it available through him and his son, Jesus Christ, and we work together with him, and we do it, and he brings those things to pass that he promises us. It is a win-win situation. You are never wrong to trust God. You're not. But you have to know that it's God's word, and it's God that you're trusting. So you got to be able to be honest and take your thoughts and lead those thoughts, imaginations, and thinking to the obedience of Christ. And you got to go to the word and understand what the word says to do that, right? It's such a great life. God really makes it easy. We complicate it with our logic, our leaning. It's really harder to lean to the left. That's why it went to the right when I'm showing you. You know what I mean? Look in verse 31. Here's a good one. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Do you really trust God? When bitterness wells up in your heart and God says, do you go, Vicky, renew your mind, put on the mind of Christ, that's a negative thing you're thinking about that person or that situation, you're not going to get anything out of that, come on, do the word, and you really let go of the bitterness, then you're trusting God. To say I trust God and hold bitterness in your heart towards your brothers or sisters is not trusting God. And the results you're going to get is not what you could really have. You know? Here's another one. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, recently somebody said to me, I don't need to be forgiven. I've already been forgiven in Christ. You know what? You might want to open up Ephesians chapter 4 and read. Because God tells us that we need to forgive. In fact, I don't think God says here, or does anybody's translation say, I think you ought to forgive one another? Or it probably would be nice if you'd forgive one another. Is it a request? No. It's said in a commandment. And be ye kind one to another. There's no misunderstanding that, is there? Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Has God forgiven us? Yeah. But you know what? He tells us we need to forgive each other, too, because we blew it. Ever had to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry? Will you forgive me? Takes some humbleness, doesn't it? But you know what? I've noticed every time I've done it, my heart is so peaceful afterwards, and I'm so thankful to God that it's over, and I did what I needed to do, and I can move on and keep loving people. And there's another one practically, love. Unconditional love of God. Whoa. Check into that one sometime. Do I really love people unconditionally? That'd be a good one to do. You know? Gosh, you guys, we are flesh and blood. And sometimes we don't do it right. But look at what God has given us to get us right back on the right track. So simple. You know? And we have such a great family. This room and the people that aren't here that fellowship here, you know what? I hear it over and over when people come and visit. You guys are so loving. You guys, I mean, the love of God is really obvious in your fellowships. I wish we had this where I was. You know what? I want to be known for that. I want people to say, gosh, the love of God really reigned in that woman's life when I die. You know, when I fall asleep, if the Lord tarries, I want people to say that about me. You know why? Because I know that's pleasing to God. That's why I want it said, because I know it's pleasing to God. And if people say that about me, then somehow I've managed to live my life where that is manifested for other people to see. And you know who gets the glory in that? God. That's who gets it. So let's don't get caught up in what the world is saying or this person says or that organization does or doesn't do. And you know what? The greatest time to trust God and love God is when the pressure's on. It makes you so strong. It's not always easy to love people. I'm not always easy to love. Ask Marnie. You know, sometimes I stretch his patience, and he's got a lot of it. But you know what he always does? Loves me. Sometimes he gets a little irritated with me and has to go walk around the pool in the backyard. But you know what I know about him? Because of the man of God he is. Not because he's good looking or because he's got a great job or he makes a lot of money, but because of the man of God he is, he's got my back. And when I'm out of it, there's one person I know will come to me. Him. Because of the man of God he is. That's what we need to be for one another. You know that? And we can do that when we put our trust and confidence in God Almighty. And don't lean. Because I tell you what, Alex didn't get delivered by leaning. Did you, Alex? Alex got delivered by trusting God. Casting down her fear. Casting down the, oh my God, oh, the pain. She cast it away and she trusted God and went for it. And what did she get? Deliverance. What a God. What a God. And what we have to do is push ourselves, train ourselves to do it his way. And it always works. Amen? Amen. God bless, guys. Coming up? Are you coming up? No? Okay, Mike's not coming up, so refreshments are out. Enjoy yourselves and spend a week just trusting and walking with your Father in love, okay? Okay, I love you.